I'm here with my sister, Lisa.
Oh, man, it's a head rush, man. I enjoy kicking it with her, man. I'm going to miss her, man. It's
her,
cool.
Her sense of humor detonates, right?
You know it.
You got to get about 6 miles down the Brooklyn Queens Expressway before you go, oh, that's what she meant, right?
Yeah, something like that. But it's been great, man. I'm going to miss you, girl. I hope you come back,
thank you.
Too.
Thank you. I hope so, too. It's been a blast.
Brian Young in attendance in the back there. Yeah. Hey. Our one-man band. Play a little solo there, brother. Give us some music there, Hutch. Yo, baby. Well, that's kind of like what's going on at the Oprah Winfrey Show. It's kind of hijinks and screwball, baby. Wow! Let's check out what happens next when our colorful cut-up cuties decide to write a drug book. Yeah.
Nobody talks about how cute Lisa is.
Well, actually,
dress is cool too.
Yeah.
Well, everybody has been sending in emails saying how cute Lisa looks and everything, but it was a picture of Animal that we posted on the internet.
He's cute too.
Oh, your dance card's going to get filled, baby.
I'm not cute. I'm cuddly.
Anyway, I don't know. Turn my voice all the way, as far up as it goes. There you go, Hutch. Great.
You're pinning him, Dave. You're pinning him.
I know I'm pinning him. You just leave it right there, babe.
All right.
Okay, mark it on the mark it on there. Or do you like to hear your name? We've got special guests. Speaking of special names coming up here, Ron Scholar is the New York City entertainment lawyer. In fact, I want to start the show here with a little something that says to all of you listening, and I know there are many of you out there in Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and worldwide here on DavidLeRoth.com. And I just want you to know that in consideration of this radio show and for other good and valuable considerations, the receipt of which I am acknowledging now, that I promise and agree that I'm over the age of 18 and that I'm doing this show of my own free will and that I'm not under any physical or mental incapacity. And I also promise all of you that I have no sexually transmittable diseases and that I'm otherwise in good health, and I freely and voluntarily agree and consent to engage in sexual activity with every single one of you. All right, I'm just joking. But that's an actual form, and it was Ron Scholar, Esquire, who wrote that. And this is his business now. This is, in fact, he's coming on the air. What time is that? At 8 o'clock, I believe? We'll figure it out. Nobody had the good sense to write it down on a piece of paper.
I think it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Anyway, 8 o'clock, he's dropping in. He's a New York City lawyer, and he developed the pre-sexual agreement inspired by the Kobe Bryant case. Maybe you can invent some kind of agreement for the Oprah Winfrey Show when these guys show up with a book like this. What do you think?
I think that's in the
works. Because I think a lot of people got stupped.
Yeah.
And you didn't know it was coming. And now you may be emotionally scarred forever, and that's like a transmittable disease. I don't know if it was a sexual content thing, but...
I'm seeing the connection. Thank you.
Are you seeing the connection?
I am.
Then you're on your fifth shot of double espresso, too. Dopio to go, right?
Yeah.
I always get the triple shot. It's called Trippio, and I think I'm going to call myself that now. Trippio.
D-Row Trippio.
D-Row Soul. It's so retro.
So yesterday.
It is. Call me retro, I'm hetero, but I want to be modern, babe. I want to be like, call me Trippio. You know what I do at Starbucks when I get my cup of coffee or my Trippio? Is they say, what's your name? And I always tell them, the king. And then I stand on the other side of the Starbucks, as far away from the girl pouring the coffee as possible. And so she has to yell it as loud as possible. Oh, yeah. Trippio for the king. And I act like I didn't hear. Oh, yeah. And I always position myself next to the hottest looking chick in the place, right? Like that. And I act like I didn't hear it. And they go, Trippio for the king. And I lean in and go, that must be me. Well, I haven't been on a date for a while, but I am hyped up on caffeine. You're speaking to the king, Roth Radio, Diamond Dave, live, David Lee's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea.
And I like the idea of this this law thing.
A pre-agreement.
Yeah.
It's like the prenuptial thing. And I mean it when I say this is a fellow. Well, this fellow is obviously bringing the pre-sexual agreement, which was inspired by the Kobe Bryant case.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, Bill Maher just had one of these things flare up in his face. A model / actress / airline stewardess.
Airline stewardess, yes.
Did I get that backwards?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe she did. Anyway.
It's okay. She's an airline stewardess.
It's okay. It's Friday. Trippio for the king. Sorry.
This protects women, too.
Oh, it protects anybody who carries it.
Everybody assumes that it's for the man.
For guys, you're absolutely right. This could be like for Jessica Simpson, because in page six, she spent the night in Chateau Marmont. I don't want to talk about it during this hour.
No, that's very smart.
I'm thinking about it, though, because I haven't signed an agreement. With Jessica, you can't. With her, you've seen her dad on television. You can't even look at her without signing an agreement.
Oh, geez.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I don't dare even say anything about her.
No.
But the pre-sexual agreement, which has been created by Ron Scholar, the attorney of law here, he's going to be coming up at 8 o'clock. And, hey, it says here the pre-sexual agreement is free to anyone who contacts Ron.
All right.
There's a little subtext there, isn't there? No, somebody asked a little bit earlier, you know, why would you want to do these things for free? Because there's a whole lot of folks out there who probably already need and know about his services, don't know about his services. Where else would you find out except Roth Radio? Oprah ought to check with him. These kinds of prenuptial agreements are going to become the rage, right? She should have authors sign something before they come on her show. Because the only thing that you lose when somebody goofbags on somebody like Oprah Winfrey is trust. And trust is like toothpaste. Once it's out of the tube, it never goes back in. And that's what she's struggling for. She believed him. The book is a very believable tome. I have it. And I've read maybe 30, 40 pages of it. It's written in a flash fiction kind of a style, mm-hmm. just as editing is all new now when we look at modern movies, the editing for perhaps a movie like Traffic or a movie like Blade or any number of pictures is very different than the way they edited movies in the 70s or the 80s, for example. And the way that these kinds of books are written, very different than what you learned from David Copperfield or Mark Twain in grade school. You know, paragraphs, quotation marks, simple sentences like that. This reads like a script. Mm-hmm. Coincidence? Perhaps.
And what was interesting when he was referring to the people in his book, he kept referring to them as characters.
Do you think that was a Freudian slip, or do you think he was actually creating? Well, he was fabricating characters.
He was fabricating, yeah.
But do you think he was like letting it slip that he says these were characters?
I don't think that was intentional. I think that was a dead giveaway.
I think that if you watch him on the television set, it's a dead giveaway.
Oh, yeah.
He's a total pansy. He's obviously an itinerant liar. You can tell instantly.
Yeah.
Just like I told the judge when they tried to hire me up for jury duty. Oh, yeah, I can tell. Just let me get a little closer.
No, but it certainly has changed the way Oprah's going to handle her guests, but it's also going to change the publishing world.
I think so. But more importantly, Oprah is the first place that most people find out about books. In order to otherwise find out about books, you got to read about them. That's double reading for somebody like Paris Hilton or that voter block. That's heavy lifting, babe.
Okay, reading and Paris Hilton in the same sentence.
You'll only hear it here on Roth Radio. Go ahead and spin the Oprah comment there. If I just spin that
more
up.
Importantly, I feel that you betrayed millions of readers. And I think, you know, it's such a gift to have millions of people to read your work, and that bothers me greatly. And so now as I sit here today, I don't know what is true and I don't know what isn't.
All right, cut it right there, because I think probably the issue now is going to be a prenuptial agreement. I think it's not obviously not a prenuptial agreement, but the one place that most people actually go now for book reviews is Oprah Winfrey. Mm-hmm. The one place that most people go for movie reviews would be Roper Neeper, Ebert and Roper. Two thumbs up, baby. Right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, you don't even have to be able to pronounce the name. You know where the show is, and you look for the, you know, the ad on top of the movie thing. You know, one thumb up, two thumbs up.
Oh, your author's book gets on Oprah? That's it. Guaranteed millions.
Super millions.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. And you're going to have your own miniseries there on Oprah. Now he got caught. Now he's got another three episodes to do where he absolves himself. And I think she was offering him absolution already. And she goes, well, it takes a lot of strength to admit you lied. So now he's got another book. Now he's got another contract where he demonstrates how he reclaimed his own strength, how Stella got his groove back.
Yep. You know, it was interesting. I saw some of that show yesterday. And throughout the show, I mean, she was hammering him. She did not let up. And
good for her.
I was impressed.
Yeah,
I was impressed. And then at the end, she gave us a happy ending.
What was the happy ending?
By giving him absolution, like you said. It was very brave of you to come on. Thank you. And I think the truth will set you free, and you have a new future ahead of you.
Yeah, he has a future as a litigating attorney in Beverly Hills.
I am intrigued, though, by what it is that would cause a person to do that.
Oh,
what?
Fame, money, popularity?
No. I think with him, there is some huge need, something that he's filling by doing that.
There are a lot of people who follow through on that track, Lise. It's the horror story approach. You know, the more you can horrify people with your degradation, how low you sank. Because there are tomes, there are books that are legitimately, you know, dirt under the author's fingernails, like Requiem for a Dream. Go ahead, Animal, you had a thought?
Oh, you know, like the Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp story, man. You know, the real story, don't nobody really know, because most of it was like, you know, science fiction. And it was a rumor that, well, if we tell the true story, may not nobody buy the book. So we're going to, like, add some stuff, like, wow, you know.
I think this guy probably fabricated most of his stuff. I think he fabricated probably 99% of it, and it's a horrifying issue. The more horrifying you can be, it's like a monster movie. Yeah. It's like a slasher movie, okay? The more monstrous it can possibly be, then the more attention that you get. And you can go through your own, it's a power. You created your power. You found your self-validation. And now there's a deliverance, a result. And there is strength because you reclaimed yourself, you follow? And you become a kind of a hero, particularly for somebody like Oprah. You know, what used to be called crying in your beer now gets you 3 episodes on her show.
I'm intrigued by that depth of need for attention.
Well, he definitely needs some kind of attention. And if you see him on the TV set, he's obviously a wimp.
Yeah.
And he stutters and the whole thing. And she nailed him. And you want to know why he went on? Because probably every rat creep like himself who's fabricating something out there says, hey, you made it bad for the rest of us. You're going to have to take the fall, like in The Sopranos. And he's going to have to go and, you know, whatever. But that book will now be made into a movie.
Absolutely.
Because everybody's fascinated now. Well, if it's that horrible that it made it on Oprah and he fabricated, perhaps more is his achievement. Hey, he's starting to become a hero to me. It's like in Wag the Dog. You saw the movie?
Yes.
Where they create a war. And then Dustin Hoffman is the Beverly Hills movie producer. Decides he's going to end the war, and he could probably get the Nobel Peace Prize. And his promotion director says to him, but there was no war. And he says, but all the more my achievement. Now, this guy is going to have this book because it's written like a script. And that may well be precisely what was aimed at us here. Okay? It runs down the left-hand side of a page like line for line for line. There's no quotation marks. There's no he said, she said, then I said, then you said. It's just like a script. What time is it? 5:00. Why? Because I got to go. Just exactly like that, all the way down most of those pages. It makes for really interesting, fast reading. That's kind of like what flash fiction is, I think.
If you had read it yourself, I don't know how far into the book you are. Would you question what you've read so far? Would you question the validity of it?
I question the validity of somebody who's been through that much, who actually has a capacity to put the book together from beginning to end. Because if you bashed your brain in that hard, like some of my old bandmates, then it's hard enough for you to tie both shoes the same, much less to actually sit down at a word processor and create something that has tempo and flow and a beginning, a resolve, a conflict, the great finish, etc. That takes wherewithal. And chances are that if you've been through the mill like Homeboy said he was, that you ain't going to have anywhere near that much wherewithal. You'll be lucky to find your butt in broad daylight with both hands on a time limit. Agreed or disagree?
Oh, I agree completely. And I want to know how the publishing world, because you know they go through many levels when you're publishing a book.
Sure.
How they got through everything, got the book out there without someone questioning the validity.
Well, do they do fact checking? Because I read somewhere not terribly long ago in the New York Review of Books, and somebody was critiquing modern popular media. He said it's not as popular today. Regular newspapers, etc., are nowhere near as popular as the tabloids like The Enquirer. And what's my favorite page in the whole newspaper? Page 6. Why? Because they all now, all the real newspapers and real articles have to do fact checking. They have to now make sure that every single detail, if it pops up in Time magazine or the LA Times or whatever, it's got to be fact checks, especially since recent scandals or whatever. But a book like this, I don't know that anybody would go fact checking, would you? Do you think?
You know, I'm sure under some circumstances they might, but there doesn't appear to be some, I don't know,
no.
Something.
And most people probably don't even care because, you know, it's the old thing of I got a ghostwriter to write my book. Did you? No. Who did you get to read my book to you?
Yeah, well, you can be guaranteed that every publishing house is going to be hiring a $20,000 a year fact checker.
I hope not, because it's more interesting when you're allowed to exaggerate a little bit. Isn't that why you tune into Roth Radio?
David Lee Roth Mornings.
I mean, once I talked to the person at the facility about it, you know, the book had been out for 9 months. We'd already done a lot of interviews about it. I, you know, since that time, I've struggled with the idea of it. And
the lie of it. That's a lie.
Roth Radio. And it's a lie.
It's all a lie,
David. Is a lie, isn't it?
All of it's a lie, Dave.
My sister Lisa, you wouldn't lie to me, would you?
Never.
Never once. Not even on public radio?
Never.
Not in front of millions and millions and millions of interested people?
Never.
But would you write a book that was a lie?
You know, I actually have taken a lot of writing courses.
About
one of them was writing memoirs. And we had to write memoirs. And I lied.
And was it a good lie?
Yeah.
Did you get a movie deal? Did you get on Oprah?
It wasn't good enough. Well, I didn't know that was the measuring stick.
That is the measuring stick. That's all that counts, evidently. And now we are flooded with so many books and stories, you know, and stuff that's ghost written or written by the third person or it didn't actually happen. I'm wondering, if it reads good, is it good?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to you either way. But if it's characterized as being real and you find out it's not, that impacts the way that you perceive it, does it not?
That matters to me. In fact, I never watch biopics. I don't like movies that are biographical.
Why not?
Because I know they're not real, and it pisses me off, and I don't want to watch it.
Okay, would you rather have a movie made about you that was stunningly real, unflinchingly fair, and true behind the scenes? Or would you rather have Bruckheimer create a giant, lavish, super production that's sort of based on fact, but popularized and
millions. Wait, I understand where you're going, and most people would say Bruckheimer, but think about my life. I'm related to you.
It is kind of like a Bruckheimer epic, isn't
We've had quite a life.
Okay, strike that one. Roth Radio, 866-373-3733, and they're on the phones already. Talk to me, Lou. Talk to me about marketing books. What do you think about all of this? Roth Radio, you're on.
Hey, Dave, how are you? I was just bring up, like, in regards to the fry-up, how the book was marketed.
How was it marketed?
It was marketed as a true life memoir as to this guy, how this guy's life played out. And in comparison, like a writer like the late great Hunter Thompson, it was fact-based fiction that he put out, and there was no misconception about, well, some of this hasn't really happened. It's being exaggerated for literary purposes and to make a point, not indicating that he had done all the rather insane things that he claims to have done in his books.
And you're saying Hunter Thompson intentionally exaggerated, and he copped to that right at the beginning.
There's no misconceptions by anybody that's read his books that all of this is definitely not fact.
Okay. So you're saying that that's acceptable, but that the fella who was on Oprah Winfrey, that what he did was unacceptable, correct?
Absolutely, because he's making himself out to be this, he's saved himself and had all these horrible things happen to him, and when in fact, you know, none of it's really true, even though he's claiming that this is how his life played out, and it's simply not, it's not the case.
You know, I think that quite a bit of the story is true. There are some major aspects of it that aren't. That I know.
So what's the difference?
The difference is how it's marketed. I want to know.
I do too, because being reportage, which is what our friend is discussing here, is as old as Mark Twain doing The Innocents Abroad. Until then, it was all, I went to France, and the Louvre was beautiful, and the Eiffel Tower was this tall, and the food was great. And Mark Twain was the one who said, no, I'm just going to go and let terrible, usual things happen to me. The hotel staff will be rotten to me. The food will give me the trots. I won't understand the language, and I'll write about that. And he did. The Innocents Abroad was the first version of that that I'm aware of. That, and then you can lead up to Hunter Thompson. I don't really have a story to tell. In fact, I'm not going anywhere where there is a good story to tell. So the story will be what happened to me while I was looking for the story. Reportage. A great example of that currently is P.J. O'Rourke, who was the national affairs editor for Rolling Stone for a long time and has written many books. And same kind of an approach. It's a genre. And I believe that if you're going to pitch that to somebody, then you really need to be sports specific here. I'm wondering now if Oprah is going to get authors to write the pre-agreements that you're going to have to swear on a stack of Bibles or whatever that this was true and reasonable. Or if you say I created it, maybe that's even more of an achievement.
Yeah, I think that she will. I think the publishing company will step in beforehand and they'll have their own thing. But here's something interesting. If I'm not mistaken, he tried to market that book as a novel initially.
Oh.
And he couldn't get it published.
Ah.
And he changed it to memoir.
Ah, Trippio for the king. I'm going to need coffee to get through this. The plot thickens. The coffee thickens even as we speak, huh?
Which says something about the public's taste, that people want to read reality.
Well,
or
people,
what they think.
But you know what else is at work here, too? The great impresario P.T. Barnum has a very famous quote. He said, "The public loves nothing more than to be duped, except for perhaps to be duped really well." Roth Radio, we're going to try and dupe you, but not right now. Broadcasting from New York, I'm David Lee Roth. This is my sister, Lisa Roth.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Roth Family Breakfast. What do you think, Animal? Do you like being fooled like that? It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Oh,
like
yeah.
You got fooled?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of cool because, you know, I'm a science fiction kind of guy. That's my thing. And, you know, that's all fabricated and everything, but...
It's a better, clever trick,
yeah,
if he fabricated it.
Yeah, because that's what you want. You want ratings and get the book out. So you have to tell a few lies to get it out, you know?
I have lied before, and I probably will again.
Of course.
Possibly during this next phone call. Joe. Joe says he's glad that the fella fooled Oprah. Joe, you're on Roth Radio.
Nobody. It's so bad.
This is a joke phone call. That's my agent from CAA, guys. Anyways, what's up, Joe? How are you this morning?
He's gone.
Did he go?
Yeah, he just...
I told you,
performing.
That was CAA.
That was
it, yeah. Who, by the way, sent me a great pair of helicopter headsets from the agency, from CAA.
I know. I got to wear them.
Oh, that's right. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yes, when you took me up in the helicopter, we do have to talk about that.
Okay. What are you pointing at here? What are you pointing at, Hutch? Go ahead and hook them in. It doesn't matter. It's all the same subject. We're talking about Oprah Winfrey and the book that turned out to not be a book, but it's still a pretty good book. And now that I find out that this is a complete labor of lust, I'm even more impressed. Why is that? What's happening to me? Maybe I live in New York too long here. Go ahead. You're on Roth Radio. You're good to go.
Hey, David. I think Oprah's in on a cut of all these books, and that's why she's so upset that she's losing credibility now.
Well, she certainly gets a cut of these books because it's the popularity of, you know, she says she reads the books, she critiques them, and she creates heroes, okay? She creates popular icons of our culture, and that means more listeners. When she says this is a good book and it becomes a super bestseller, and it actually is a good book usually... Then you just say, wow, I'm going to tune back in, just like watching Ebert and Roper. They were right, two thumbs up. I saw the movie. Boom, I'm watching them again for the next movie. Isn't that true?
I read it, and it's a good book. I mean, you can't really take it literally. But I think the people that suffer the most are the addicts that bought into this whole thing, saying that, you know, if he went through all this, then I could do it. And now they're probably saying this is their cop-out. You know, he really didn't do it. And, you know, this is my easy way out. If James Fry didn't do it, then, you know, I can't do it. There's no reason I should be able to.
But he did do it. He did stay sober, and he wrote an amazing book.
But how drunk was he in the beginning?
Well, evidently that part's true.
How much of an addict was he, Lise? Do you know, what was he taking? What was he hooked on?
Do you know? I don't know. I don't want to be responsible for
Well, I want you to be
lying.
Responsible. For Go ahead and lie. That's the subject. It's okay. There's no Oprah here. Go ahead, make it up.
I don't know what his drug of choice was, but I guess it was a pretty bad situation.
Was he a heroin addict and speedballs and crack? And it sounds like a weekend to me, but I don't write books. I live them. No, really, was he a serious addict?
Yes.
You know, because if I say to you, Lisa, I'm going sober, that means I quit two Budweisers a day. Don't look at me like that. It's the weekend. I have a special clause written by the lawyer coming up a little bit later. It says the weekends are excluded. David Lee Roth, my sister Lisa Roth, Animal, Be Young, Hutch. It's the Roth Family Breakfast, at least for one more, few more hours, right? I have the book that James Frey wrote and that is on the Oprah show. This is all over CNN and everything here. Give me number 13. Something about the publisher says he's offered a refund or something to anybody who, like, relapses. If you were a heroin addict and you tie off, and I don't know. I don't want to put words in your arm. Go ahead. Roth Radio, you're on.
Hey, Diamond Dave's Free Airwaves. How are you?
D-Rose in the house. What's up?
Yeah, from what I understand, the publisher's offering a full refund because of the fact that it was sold as a nonfiction story and it's turned out to be fiction. But chances are that the book will sell more copies now that it's got all this controversy covering it.
Yeah, and you know what? If you did send in that thing and I was the publisher, I'd send you back a little thing on a piece of paper that says, hey, son, the trouble with self-improvement is knowing when it's time to quit. We're going to send you back your $6 in Animal's little baby fist. And if you can pry it free, you're a stronger addict than I ever was. Lise, what do you think of what he said?
Oh, I was just thinking that, you know, the people who already read it as a memoir can reread it and have a completely different experience.
Boom. Actually, at least they can now buy it in soft cover. You're not thinking New York style. Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. 866-313-3733. Animal can illustrate the comic book. Then we have the cartoon, the animated special, the home use, the video game, the children's learning apparatus. This is the Mind Fairly Reels. And I think that Oprah could probably get a piece of the action on this now. Yeah?
Yeah. And I was just thinking, you know how much we read,
sure,
and how much we like reading and how much we say that people aren't reading anymore.
And now people are plugged in.
I think what Oprah does is great. I think people need to read books.
Hey, I don't care if you're reading Batman or Schopenhauer. I don't even know who Schopenhauer is. I know what he did, but it's philosophical German some stuff, whatever.
More lies.
But I find Batman a little dark. A little deep. It doesn't matter. You remember Frankie, Dad's karate instructor?
Yes.
Frank in Pasadena.
Right.
He had a story. He turned, I think he was probably almost 35 years old and really couldn't read. And he said to me, he asked me at one point, Dave, what should I do? You know, I want to learn to read. I want to start to practice. He says, I don't like to read Time Magazine, and I don't want to read, you know, textbooks on how to read or anything. I said, what do you like in life? Frank, what do you like in life? He's about 35 years old. He said, sex. I said, great. Go get yourself a copy of Playboy, Penthouse for him. And he did. And now, homeboy can read the chicken right off the bone, man. No, he'll tell you. He's way up to speed because he found something that was intriguing to him to develop the skill. And at that point, I think I'm going to agree with you, Lisa. I think whether it's good or bad, it was just heavy lifting. You know, it's fake, but I'm almost a little more impressed. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a little more impressed with you now that we've done a week's worth of radio and you can actually discuss stories like this and make it seem relevant. Oprah's rough. We'll be back with more Oprah after this.
David Lee Roth Mornings.
I'm feeling good on a Friday. Keep that track going. Who is this? This is Michelle Branch. She was recording right across when we were making our last album, Brian, remember? What is that? John Schenck is her producer, who stays across the hallway at Henson Studios there. She came in to say hello. She's got a hell of a voice, huh?
It almost makes me want to sing, but I wouldn't do that to
I'm going to make him turn it off.
To the listening.
Don't you threaten this audience. Turn it up. I want to hear the chorus. Well, don't feel too good until you've signed this form coming up. We've got an attorney at law showing up here at 8 o'clock. Ron Scholar is going to show up, and he's going to talk to us about the pre-sexual agreement. And you may want to have sex if you keep playing this song. Go ahead, turn it up. Now I want to have sex.
I'm going to leave the room.
I want to have sex with Michelle Branch. But only if she signs this in front of 9 people.
And her husband.
But I'm feeling good. So many emotional days. Because I'm feeling good. You know who else is feeling good? Here we are, page 6. The only page of the newspaper that I read, Larry King is feeling good. And it says he likes to get a little Wild West in the sack. You know, with Larry King, I think it's more appropriate that we play the Tom Jones loop. Hutch, do you want to spin that up? You got him there. Track 10. Go ahead. That's a Larry King loop. There you go. Play the guitar, Brian. Swing on it, baby. Live in the studio. Be young. Be bad, baby. I was going to say I turned into Tom Jones. It's better than turning into Larry King. Although, according to page 6, maybe I've made a mistake. It's early. I could do that. Larry King likes to get a little wild in the West in the sack, according to his much younger wife, Sean Southwick. In an unsettling interview with Howard Stern, Southwick claims that Larry has this Indian costume thing that just drives me wild. I wear chaps, she says.
Wait.
You know, I got this job because I look so much better in chaps than Al Franken, Lisa. You know that, right? Oh, it's what you know, clinched the deal. What?
Who's wearing chaps in this relationship?
Certainly not Larry King. I would never read that to the public. I don't want to be guilty for that. I can be held for treason for that. No, it's his girlfriend. Obviously, she's wearing the chaps. But
oh, he has the Indian costume.
Well, he supplies the costume. He's more like the costumier. I wonder what Isaac Mizrahi would do with this one, huh? Interesting. Interesting stuff. Anyway, she adds that 72-year-old King's bedroom battle cries. Oh, you means the noise while he's rutting. Okay, that his bedroom battle cries did not ring out until after they were married in 1997. She was a devout Mormon. Uh-oh. Made the wrinkled broadcaster wait until their wedding night to have sex. And here's the best part. Only after a doctor signed off on it because of King's heart problems. This sounds great, doesn't it? This sounds thoroughly combustible. This sounds like an explosive situation, doesn't it?
You know what? Actually, I think that the night of their or the day before their wedding or something, he had a heart issue and had to be airlifted to a hospital or something. There was some situation like this.
He's a danger lover. He's an adventurer. I love it.
He never gives up.
Climb every mountain, or at least these two. And please wear the chaps. Lose the dress. Keep the shoes. Larry, we didn't know. Happy Friday. Shout out to you from Roth Radio, baby. Yeah. Give me that guitar. Hey, swing it, baby. Also, well, let's just stay with Larry King for a second there. You know that he signed a prenuptial something or other with her, right?
Sure.
Because coming up, like I said, at 8 o'clock is Ron Scholar, who invented the pre-sexual agreement, which was inspired by the Kobe Bryant case. See how I dovetail these things? I've been in radio for a month.
I'm impressed. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. And Oprah is going to have a pre-book agreement. Everybody's going to have an agreement.
There's a whole theme going on here this morning.
We agree to agree. We agree to have a meeting to have a meeting. That's what it's going to turn into. We'll never, ever actually get anything done. And maybe that's the whole point. David Lee Roth at your service, broadcasting from the nerve center of our gangland stronghold, New York, worldwide, DavidLeeRoth.com. You're wondering how I say that without stuttering. You got to see my sister's face. Lisa Roth, my sister in attendance, my guru, my spiritual advisor. She's the only one who knows which way is north around here. Like Columbus said. We have to keep her. What do you think, Animal? Is a pre-sexual agreement something that you may find yourself having to use. You're married. Right?
Well, you know, like, I ain't got nothing but bills, man, and she can have half of them. She ain't got to sign nothing for that. I can just give them to her. We don't need no prenuptial for that, man.
I can't possibly top that. That is a wealth of wisdom that only arrives in a size mountain like animal. You don't actually have a last name, do you? I want that. I want to get to the point where you can say, like, Dave, you know? Or maybe I'll get, like, a verb, like Sting.
I have a last name, Bone. Animal Bones.
Animal Bones.
Yeah, the Bone guys said I could use that once upon a time since I was from the beginning of their career.
Was it Bones and Thug and Harmony who had a sex thing, or was that Tupac, or who had that?
That was Tupac. It wasn't us.
That's right. Tupac could have used this agreement. He had a thing over at the Parker Meridian Hotel where I used to stay. There's no connection. This is going to be interesting stuff. Ron Scholar, our lawyer, is coming in. He's a New York City attorney for the pre-sexual agreement. Who else needs a pre-sexual agreement? Coming from Page Six. The Clay Maniacs are out for blood because somebody's alleging that Aiken Love Toy John Paulus was a boyfriend. Didn't Clay Aiken always look gay to you?
Yeah.
No, really.
He's from Birmingham.
They're all gay.
Yeah, everybody. All them got sheeps in their backyard, man, in Birmingham.
It's the one city we said, no, we can't broadcast there.
Oh.
No. We don't go there.
Okay, cool.
What about Clay, though? He always seemed like that to me, no?
This is not even a conversation.
So is there a lawsuit pending or something? What's going on? Does he actually have a career worth defending?
Yeah, he sells a lot of albums.
Okay, this evidently the boyfriend passed a polygraph test administered by the Inquirer in an attempt to corroborate his bombshell claim. And evidently this is a real deal or something. Or there was a photo ad or something. Lisa, have you ever used dating on the internet or photo ads or any? They used to be called photo ads. Now it's like somebody's list or somebody's house or something, you know.
Do you know, I never have. I can't bring myself to do that.
Because you might wind up with somebody like me, or you might wind up with somebody.
I think it's the same fear most people have, and that is that anyone who goes online is a loser. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But
it's
now,
not true, but
now you have
it
people,
is
though.
True.
You. Well, it may well be, or maybe you're just too hip, gotta go. You know, you cut your time right in half. If you're just looking to get under the covers with somebody, maybe that's an efficient way. And, you know, certainly cut your drink bill in half, you know, your taxi bill in half, right? It's kind of what I did back at the house in Pasadena. You've seen it, where I took all my gold and platinum records. I must have 30 of them. And I put them all the way down the long hallway that leads to my bedroom.
It's true.
Oh, it cut my foreplay time right to a third, man. That's why I have enough energy to do this in the morning. Cut to that. Oh, yeah. She knows I'm not lying. Anyway, did Aiken ever get a gold record? Did he actually make a record? We know him from, American Idol and whatnot. But did he actually create something?
That should be easy to find out. Yes, he's been very, very successful in his sales.
So this could possibly triple his sales. Maybe he'll write a book and be on Oprah.
Oh, yeah.
I think he already been on Oprah.
Sorry? Was he already on Oprah?
I think he have already been on there when he first won the contest. I think he was. I'm not too sure. I don't want to flabbergate nothing because we don't want Darth Vader's at me.
It says here, I have several personal ads on gay websites, it says the boyfriend supposedly. And then he goes under the name Valley Pretty Boy, and evidently Clay sent him his first message here. Somebody's got a call on there. Maybe he knows. Naked Clay Aiken. That's the name of the book. Clay Aiken. Naked.
Naked Aiken.
Naked Aiken.
Aiken and Naked.
Aiken Naked.
With a big old secret on the front of the cover.
Aiken and Naked. Naked and Aiken. Sounds like a legal firm.
Yeah.
All right, you're on, Jim. What's up? Roth Radio, you're in the light. Go ahead.
What's up, Dave? Long time friend, man.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they found naked photos of him on the internet.
What were you doing looking for naked photos of him?
No, I wasn't looking. I heard it on the news, man.
Okay, and are there actual
gay website?
Are there actual photos of Clay Aiken naked on that website?
Yeah, it was like a gay website of him naked trying to pick up guys and stuff.
Get out of here. And was this prior to his celebrity, his spot in the spotlight, or since?
No, it's been like just like, you know, recently.
No, I don't buy this. Everybody's going, no way.
We're
shaking
our heads.
I'm not buying this.
There was a naked picture of Sammy Hagar right next to it.
That I believe. Go ahead. Get out.
Trivia for the king.
Hey, that must be me. Roth Radio. Well, welcome to Diamond Dave's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea. I'm going to go have a trippio. I can't possibly beat that last call.
David Lee Roth
on 92.3
Free FM.